Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Heavenly Father, once again we open your word, and Lord, as the man said, we would see Jesus. Lord, let us decrease, as John the Baptist said, that Christ may increase. Lord, I'm asking that you give us understanding as we open your holy word. And we're careful to give Jesus the credit, the glory, the honor, and the praise. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen." Now, before we get into the message today, I'd like to remind my listeners that I'm intending to take another trip down to Haiti to preach this gospel. And I'm asking that you pray for the meetings, pray that God would open doors, pray that souls would be saved. And I also ask that you consider supporting me financially as I go in your stead to be a missionary evangelist to that nation. And I thank you very much for it. Now, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and very briefly, the outline of that chapter is this: that God's people were thirsty, and the Lord gave them to drink from the rock that Moses smote with his staff. And the people were satisfied. But then, after they had finished drinking, Amalek came. And we said that the rock was Christ. And that's quoting Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it satisfies the soul. And Jesus mentioned many times that he came to satisfy, and it's by the agent of the Holy Spirit that he does so. And we said that Amalek was a type of the flesh, and as I said, we'll be in this chapter for a good while, probably. Now, this chapter in the book of Acts is probably familiar to many of you. If you're a Pentecostal or charismatic or something, you've read this and you've said, well, we believe this. And perhaps if you're some other denomination, you say, well, our church doesn't exactly believe this or what have you. But we're reading the historical record. This is the Word of God. This is what happened during the early church. If we flip back one chapter to the first chapter of the book of Acts, we find Jesus with his disciples. It says here in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, we understand that Jesus had gone to the cross, was in the ground 3 days, rose from the dead, and spent 40 days with his disciples, it says, telling them of the things of God, giving them last instructions. And he was saying, just as he had said throughout his ministry, that they were to go out to win souls. Remember in Luke chapter 9, and then again in Luke chapter 10, he sent the 12 and then the 70 out in his stead to go to the countryside, the highways and byways, to preach the gospel, to tell them about Jesus, mighty to save. But Christ, as we see in just a few verses here, was going back to heaven. But he said he would not leave us comfortless, but he said, I will come unto you. And he came and is with us today. Now we know that Christ is in heaven, but the Father sent the Holy Spirit to testify of Jesus Christ. Every little kid in Sunday school sings that Jesus is in his heart. And Jesus is in the heart of the Christian by the agent of the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission must be fulfilled. The lost must be gathered in. The harvest is plentiful, and it's the laborer's turn to go out into that harvest to gather in the souls. But Jesus is saying here that I won't leave you to go do it by yourself. I will be with you, he says. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. And obviously that's the last few verses of the book of Matthew. But this is perhaps a strange thing. He's saying and has said for 3.5 years now that we need to be about the Father's business. We need to fulfill our end or our part of the great co-mission. But he says, and it's a command, it says, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Christ had talked about the Holy Spirit. The law testifies of the Holy Spirit. We find type and shadow throughout the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit. The prophet spoke about the Holy Spirit. And here we find Jesus saying, don't depart from Jerusalem. Yes, you've got a great commission. You need to win souls, but wait for the power of God. Wait, and I will help you. I'll go with you. You need this tool. You need the Holy Spirit to go with you. It says that, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And as it happened, it was 7 days. For John truly baptized with water. It's a fact that John baptized with water, immersed. I know that some will teach that it's a sprinkling, but and I don't want to argue about it, but it does say immersed. But if you want the sprinkling metaphor, we can look in the next chapter here in chapter 2, where it talks about raining, which would be a sprinkling, I suppose. But he says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. There's a few things that we can take from this, I suppose. We have a great commission. But he mentions John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. You say, well, I thought John was in the New Testament. Well, yes, that's correct, but he was under the Old Covenant. And Jesus himself said there wasn't a greater prophet than John, because John was able to point his finger and say, that's him. Abraham said, he's coming. Moses said, that prophet is coming. David talked about and sang about the coming Messiah, but John the Baptist pointed his finger and said, this is the one, and even baptized him. John was the greatest prophet, and Jesus is talking about that. Now, John pointed out the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's important. That is important. We must never forget the first coming. And, of course, the central event of Christ's first coming was the cross. The cross of Calvary, where the sins of man were taken care of. Our iniquity is purged, it says. Our sins are washed away, it says. We must never forget the cross of Calvary. Some denominations, I've said on this program, some denominations, some churches are downplaying the cross. They're taking the blood out of their hymnal, even. But he's saying here, don't forget the cross. But don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. For you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And the next verse, it says, wherefore, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put under his own power. And if you jump a couple of verses, the angel that came and spoke with him, the angel talked about the second coming. The disciples asked about the second coming again, and a few verses later you'll find that the angel mentioned the second coming. So we've got the first advent and the second advent mentioned here. And in between, it's our job to carry out the Great Commission. But wait for the promise of the Father. Don't depart Jerusalem, because you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That was Jesus' command to his disciples. And we know that that event was 2,000 years ago. But I believe that we are his disciples today. And I believe that we are fools if we think that we can win souls without God's help. Let me say that again. I think that preachers, churches, denominations, movements, fellowships, what have you, are fools if they think that they can win the lost with their own power. We need the help of God. We need to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Now please understand that I am not saying that all Christians need to speak in tongues. Paul said to that same effect that not all do. And many of you know that I speak in tongues. Many of you know that I am a Pentecostal. And I believe that we need the power of God. I believe that we are incapable of doing very much for the kingdom of God without God's power. But I am not saying that you must speak in tongues, or that God won't bless you if you speak in tongues, or any such foolishness. The Bible is clear that we must be born again. If you want to go to heaven, we must be born again. But Christ is talking here about power for service. We need to win the lost. God gives us a tool. We would do well to make advantage of that, or take advantage of that tool. Again, I'm not saying you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that you have to be a tongue talker or Pentecostal. But understand that that's the power of God that was given to help us to do what this next verse here says. Verse 8. He says, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is our job. That's what we were left on the earth. That's what the church was instituted for. We would be witnesses unto the Lord. We would testify of Christ. And the Greek word there for witnesses means martyrs. We're to be martyrs. We're to give up our own lives, our wills, our ambitions. We're to not do what we want, but we're to do what He wants. We're to be good servants. We're to be good ministers. And to be about His business, that of winning souls. And again, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. Because, for instance, I can get on this radio and preach to you. And I can preach it down the line. I can preach correct doctrine. And, of course, I try to do so. But I don't have the ability to convince a sinner to choose the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that reaches into the heart. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings illumination. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about conversion. It is a co-mission. We're working with the Lord. We do our part, but it's Him. It's the Holy Spirit that reaches into the soul and does his part. Now very quickly, let's read a couple more verses here. In verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." These are the two angels that I mentioned. And they were looking for the second coming. Even then they said, well, he's going to go up. Obviously, he's going to come down at some point. But the angel came to assure them that he would come back. He would come back. Now, it's not recorded that the angels said anything else. But they heeded the word of God. They heeded what Jesus had told them and stayed. And they went to the upper room, it says, and spent a week in prayer. I don't know if they fasted. I don't know if they testified. I don't know if they had prayer meetings. I don't know. But they spent a week waiting. Now, it does mention about Judas. It does mention about Matthias. So there was some record of what they did. But they stayed in Jerusalem. But then chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And I believe that's referring to Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, actually. They were all with one accord in one place. And it's often said that they were in the upper room that the Holy Spirit fell. And that is incorrect. They were in the upper room that whole week. They had rented the place, what have you, as a place to hold meetings and to pray or what have you. I don't know if they slept there. I don't know the details. But they had no business being in the upper room. Remember, they were Jews. And it was their business to be in church, as it were, when it came time for the things of God. These people were in the temple, it says. And I've not laid a foundation for this, but they were there for the morning sacrifice. And that morning sacrifice, they had taken a lamb, the priests had, and they had sacrificed him. And that lamb is a picture, as we know, of Christ on the cross. But it says that while, or during, or right after the morning sacrifice, and we know that it was the third hour of the day, as we read just a few verses down, so that would have been 9 o'clock. But right after the morning sacrifice, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. Now, I want to say that again. Right after the morning sacrifice, which was a picture, was a symbol of Calvary, then the Holy Ghost fell. So we see again, one more time, that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is all about the sacrifice of Calvary. The Holy Spirit is all about the gospel. Just as we read in chapter 1, verse 8, that we're to be witnesses of Christ through the power of God. God chose the daily event of the morning sacrifice to pour out His Spirit. Now, I want to say that again, in case you didn't understand me. I am a Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. The church that I attend, we speak in tongues occasionally. Perhaps there's a message in tongues, perhaps as an interpretation. We believe in healing. If someone is sick, we pray for them, and we believe that God can, and sometimes does, heal those that we pray for. I believe the book of Acts. I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it lists the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is all about lifting up Jesus Christ. Last week I took some time at the end of the program to tell you about what I believe is a counterfeit Pentecostal event, or what have you, a counterfeit revival, a counterfeit move of the Holy Spirit. They claim it is. And I'll say again that the distinctive characteristic of a Pentecostal is one that sticks to the Bible, sticks to the Word of God. He'll not deviate from the Word of God. He will lift up Christ. He will diminish himself, as John the Baptist said, and he will glorify Christ. He will go to the cross. He will go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He will understand everything that we know of as Orthodox Christianity. He will preach the cardinal doctrines. You might call him a fundamentalist. He will stick to the Word of God. In short, he will lift up Jesus. The Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus Christ. As we'll see when we get to the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself, doesn't speak of himself, doesn't come up with what to say by himself, but he shows you Jesus Christ. That's Christ's own words in John chapter 16. And a true man of God, whether he's Pentecostal or not, will show you Jesus Christ. He'll go back to the cross. He'll stay at the cross. He'll preach the cross again and again and again. And as we see here, the biblical record, the historical record of the day of Pentecost, and many times it's said that the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and whether that's exactly correct or not, I'm reasonably comfortable with that statement. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he was about the cross of Calvary. As we've seen, and to reiterate, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, John the Baptist is mentioned, and John pointed to Jesus Christ. John talked about, in his ministry, the cross. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said we'd be witnesses unto Christ to do the work of the ministry, to be involved in home missions, foreign missions, to be involved in street ministry, perhaps, or nursing home ministry, or to go, perhaps, down on Bourbon Street or something on Friday nights to witness, or however you want to do it. But we're to be about winning souls, and that is what the Holy Spirit is about. And God specifically chose on the day of Pentecost, right after 9 o'clock, right after the morning sacrifice that pictured the cross of Calvary, to pour on his Spirit. So let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is about the cross of Calvary. The word Pentecost means 50 or 50th. And it was one of the feasts of the Old Testament. And it was 50 days after Passover. So even the holiday itself, the name of the holiday itself, references the cross of Calvary. Because we've studied that Passover pictures Christ on the cross. Furthermore, this harvest, the harvest of Pentecost, if I'm not mistaken, it was the barley harvest. There are two harvests, the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. If I'm not mistaken, it's the barley harvest. But it's one of the harvests, and we are the ones that are supposed to go and work in his fields, to labor in his vineyard, to gather in the harvest of souls. So once again, there's the testimony of the Word of God, that the pouring out of the Spirit is given that we might gather in the harvest of souls. Many of you, when you think of the word Pentecostal, you think, oh, those crazy Pentecostals. They speak in tongues, they swing from the rafters, or what have you. And sometimes we do speak in tongues. Sometimes we do dance in the Spirit. Sometimes we do lift our hands in praise to the Lord. But the thing that characterizes us most is we lift up Jesus Christ, and we are trying to be about the Father's business to win souls for the Lord, to gather in the harvest of souls. Jesus said to pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be about the Father's business. Now, I can speak for me, and I can speak for perhaps historical Pentecostalism. I can speak for the churches that I've been affiliated with or what have you. And I've seen churches that I really don't feel comfortable in. I've seen churches that have gotten off into error. But the ones that I have attended or what have you, they preach the cross and they've been about the Father's business. Now next week we're going to pick up essentially right here and look at what Peter said when he preached the gospel after he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.